Welcome to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And we're live today here on WYPR. You can give us a call, 410-662-8780, or email us, foremanwolf@wypr.org, on any sort of food and wine related or even travel related to wine region sort of topics.
Mm-hmm.
We can give you a hand with that stuff if you want to get your dinner party plan fixed or a recipe repaired. We can try to give you a hand with that also. And it's a cool time of the year. This has been a great season in the farmers markets.
What did you see today?
Well, I tell you what. Remember we had the caller last week asking about pawpaws,
mm-hmm.
right?
You saw them at market today?
I saw them at market.
Oh, cool.
And I talked to these.
Did you bring me some?
A little quick shout out to, no.
Oh.
I brought me some, and then I might bring some to you if you're nice.
Oh, golly.
I brought, but I chatted with the young ladies from Two Boots Farm, where they grow that.
That's a fun name.
Yeah.
And they're
growing very well cared for product. And I asked them to get the owner of that farm to give us a ring and talk to us about what they do. So
in a few minutes,
we hope to get her on the line. But they had pawpaws,
mm-hmm.
and we'll get into it when she gives us a ring. But I thought they're doing really well cared for stuff, and wanted to try to make sure listeners knew about what they were doing.
Where's the farm?
So I think in Hampstead.
Okay, all right.
If my cool. addled brain serves.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the general topic for today we wanted to get into was fruit. So again, from a listener, I had a brilliant email that was very funny.
Did you say fruit?
Fruit. That's right. Fruit. And like the Italian winemakers say, my fruit is ripe.
Yeah, definitely. Vineyard. I love it when they say vineyards.
Exactly.
I love that.
That's mm-hmm. it is your vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
They were teasing me about how in the past, at least two different other autumn seasons, I have waxed poetic or semi-poetic about pears,
mm-hmm.
you know, and teasing me about always searching for the perfect pear.
That is your holy grail.
That a marvelous texture and perfect skin and, you know, that buttery sweet.
Mm-hmm.
It's a low acid fruit. And the case that I would make is that a pear is one of those fruits that there's nothing you can do cooking it that can improve upon its state in nature.
Mm.
Nothing.
I love pears. I'm with you on the perfect pear.
And it's just, and so the of this perfect season,
mm-hmm.
or almost perfect season, there's one major flaw for me. And when pear trees were flowering mm-hmm. throughout most of the Mid-Atlantic,
so pretty,
there was frost in March.
Oh, no.
Not all of them, but a lot. So the crop is short.
Okay.
So all the guys I'm talking
to. I wondered why we weren't getting more.
All the guys I'm talking to, their crop is short. And that's everything. That's Asian pear. That's Bosque. That's Bartlett. That's Seckles.
You're going to name
that's
all the different types of pears
now? No, I'm going to stop
uh-huh.
myself.
Thank you, Forrest Gump.
I have a problem.
Shrimp with rice.
Pear problem. Yeah, no. No,
uh-huh. Well, that's a shame because the nectarines, I think, are the things that I look the most forward to besides tomatoes, and I love pears. So I said something about we're doing pears poached in spices and port and red wine for the foie gras right now with pain de pisse, and I think I eat half of the ones that I cut
because
they're
just
so good.
There's nothing you can do to them, no matter how genius you are. There's
right.
nothing you can do to them to improve upon them.
Are you talking to me?
Yes, I am. I'm talking directly to you. I'm looking at you in the eye.
You're talking to me.
People can't see it on the radio,
mm-hmm.
but I'm looking at you in the
Vineyard.
Eye, and I'm telling you, you can improve upon it. I want to hear from listeners if they think that there's any other fruit that cannot be improved upon by anything we do.
Mm-hmm.
People throw pears in salads. No.
Are pomegranates pears? Fruit, excuse me.
Pomegranates are fruit.
Yeah,
they are
I don't
the
think
closest.
You can do anything to pomegranate to make it better than the way it is by itself, except maybe juice it. Well,
see?
That way you don't have to have the seed That's... part.
But I think it's a good question.
I think it's good for you to eat the
whole. Other thing I would love to hear, the other day someone was like, oh, I just got these apples, and I had like a blank moment. Mm-hmm. Usually I'll spit out the 17 things they can do with those apples based on the type of apple that they are. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, oh, I wonder, listeners have been telling us all kinds of stuff.
Sure.
Maybe listeners like want to let us know some of that. We're in the time for the apples.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe they can give us some of their favorite apple treatments and recipes. And
I have
so
an email,
so
Tony.
Okay, go
happy,
for it.
Happy Sunday, Cindy and Tony. I love this email. What kind of wine do you recommend for enjoying while doing chores? I prefer red, but am open to anything. Thank you, Rachel. I think that's a good question.
See, for me, the first thing I think about is the aroma of cleaning products.
Oh.
If there are cleaning products involved, then maybe drink water. Maybe the alcohol is not going to help.
Tony, that's absolutely no fun. Now, Rachel is having fun while she's doing her chores.
I understand.
And I think you need to give her a suggestion as to what she should drink. While she's doing her chores.
I think you won't enjoy anything if you're using strong scented cleaning products.
How about something with liquor in it? Maybe if she drinks something with liquor.
Slow your roll. I think something light and fresh. Something light and fresh. A nice Friulani Pinot Grigio like Coluta.
Pinot Grigio.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not expensive, delicious, mm-hmm. Very fine, cold. When you're a little dewy after doing your chores.
Oh, my God, Tony.
But not with the cleaning products.
Should we go to that caller over there?
Let's get to Ryan and Frederick.
Hey, Ryan.
And then behind that, I think we have Elisa from Two Boots Farm on the line.
Hi.
How are you?
Hey, Ryan, how are you?
Say that again.
I like fruits.
Hey, Ryan, turn your radio down, please.
Okay.
Ryan. Oops.
Okay. Oh, well. The note that we got about Ryan's call is that there's a vineyard in Deep Creek called Vine Yard.
I love it.
That's great.
Where's Deep Creek?
It's west of Maryland, out.
Okay, cool.
Let's go to Lisa from Two Boots Farm.
Hey, Lisa,
how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. I love your farm name.
Thank you.
I've been watching this season, seeing some of the really nice work that you guys have been doing and getting little bits and pieces of things. And this morning got some ginger, some perfect radishes, some fantastic Japanese turnips, those little sweet white turnips, and
mm-hmm.
With the nice spicy greens that you guys have. So what do you guys do? And it's nice to see all really cared for product in the market in the mornings.
Thank you. So yeah, we grow a variety of crops. We grow a lot of cut flowers for florists and weddings and stuff. And then we do specialty edible crops, so the ginger. We also have a large pawpaw orchard and a lot of salad greens, arugula, and then the root crops. Yeah, so we have a little bit of a mixed bag. And right now we're coming in at the end of pawpaw season, so this is the last week that we'll have them. I'm sure you guys are familiar with pawpaws, right?
Oh, see, we got kind of stumped last week. It's just something neither one of us has come across.
Right. I was going to ask you
Are you serious?
Yeah. What do you
totally
like to do?
Totally serious.
What do you like to do with them, Elisa?
Okay. So I personally like to eat them just raw. So I just cut it open and scoop out the flesh. But if I'm going to be preparing them, I think that the best way to prepare them is in pawpaw ice cream. Because then you're not. I think that when you're heating up the pawpaw flesh, you're kind of cooking off some of its like natural flavors. So I really love to eat it just uncooked or in ice cream. Those are my two ways to eat it. But
if you're going to be
cooking it, I would say like a creme brulee is really good.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go fancy or just like a pawpaw bread, like you would do banana bread, just substitute pawpaws instead.
Okay.
That sounds great.
Super cool.
If you end up with a bunch of pawpaws at the end of the market today, let us know. And I would just love to serve little kids pawpaw ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, actually, yeah. A woman at market just today was telling me that she works with kids in a school, teaching them about food education stuff.
That's
and
great.
They were all so stoked on the pawpaws because they really do. They taste like a cross between a banana and mango. So it's like, what wouldn't you like? Little kids would definitely like it. So.
It's also awfully nice to be able to get fresh ginger like that on the stem the way it's supposed to be.
I don't know what we did this year, but this is the best ginger crop we've had. It's really large, beautiful ginger. I got to figure out how to recreate the conditions. But yeah,
you need to make perfect weather again because it's definitely the best farming weather for most of our farmers that we've used for years and in a dozen years.
What's the origin of Two Boots Farm, the name?
The origin of the name? Mm-hmm. Kind of silly. I used to have a construction company called Puss in Boots Construction, so I wanted to keep part of the name.
That's great.
That's a very intimidating construction company name.
I know, right?
You put that on the side of a Mack truck.
Did you do a lot of business with that name? That's awesome.
Not a lot. It didn't go that far, but yeah.
Well, I love, like I said, I love the name of your farm. I'm a boot lover, so that's pretty cool. I like it.
Thank you.
Do you have any other fruit that you're growing?
We do not have any other fruit. So, yeah, it's the pawpaw orchard. I think we're going to, like, be dabbling in figs pretty soon. We're excited about figs.
That would be great.
And it seems like we're starting to find some varieties that kind of do better in our cold climate here.
People love figs.
So I think we're going to put in some figs.
Yeah, we would buy some figs from you. I planted a couple of fig plants this spring, and they're struggling already, so I'm kind of worried about them this
really
winter.
Yeah, they're really hard to grow in this region.
They are. Yeah, we had some very mature fig trees at one of the houses that we used to live in, and they did really, they were the ones that did the best. So if you can get them to get some strength and some years behind them, I think that's sort of the, and then you have to protect them in the snow. That's the other thing. And do you have hay? Do you think that would be a good idea maybe to, I'm just trying to figure out.
I've heard of people mulching them and we've tried that ourselves.
Okay.
Or putting, like, if you get lots of leaf litter, just leaf litter, packing it around, trying to contain it somehow around the root.
Sounds good.
It's a technical question about how you guys farm and how you grow stuff.
Yeah.
So what is your process? Everyone wants to know. You know, I know farmers that are organic. I know farmers that work the exact same way. They don't want to go through the process.
We've always grown organically, and we just I think this year actually became certified organic.
That's great.
So we finally went through that process. But I would say we kind of go above and beyond a bit because we do a lot of no-till farming. So we don't use heavy tractors to work into the soil. And the reason for that is it's not great for the soil or the microorganisms in the soil, but also we're trying to keep the carbon down in the earth instead of releasing it up into the soil, which is what you do when you till the ground.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll give you the silly question of the day that we're kind of working on. I have a thing for pears. So I believe that pears, there's nothing you can do to a pear that is ripe to improve upon its natural state. Is there any other fruit that you can think of that is the case?
I want to say
that it
figs.
Is best on its
figs.
Own.
Figs, yeah.
But is it best on its own?
I like figs on their own.
I like figs with prosciutto a whole lot.
Oh, figs with prosciutto, yeah.
See? I'm arguing this side of it. Pears are unique this way.
I think that you're right. But I also think maybe the pawpaw, which you guys don't know, and now you're going to have to taste one.
I've got some of your pawpaw sitting on my counter.
Oh,
so.
Good. Yeah, just having those raw, I feel like there's nothing that can compare to that. And you can't, when you cook it, you're just cooking the flavor out of it. I mean, yeah, the ice cream is delicious, but just digging a spoon right into a pawpaw is pretty amazing.
That's
it's amazing because it's so tropical, but it's actually native to this region.
So for listeners, a couple of quick questions that they'll be curious about. So it's Two Boots Farm. You guys are in Hampstead.
Mm-hmm.
People always want to know, because we'll get emails immediately, do you offer pick your own? Can people come and visit you all? What is the best way to get your product?
We have to be careful with our time. So we don't do pick your own. We do have events on the farm, like we've been having dinners, and we'll have some other events, classes and demos. So being on the lookout for that, we'll post things on our website. But yeah, we're not really set up to just receive visitors at any time, and we're not pick your own.
Yeah, that is very helpful to know. If for people to know about events or the markets that you all get to, is there a website?
Yes, we do have a website. It's www.twobootsfarm.com.
Awesome.
And two is T-W-O, Two Boots.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for talking with us.
Thank you.
You have
a
great day.
Enjoy your show, too. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thank you. That's awesome. Have a good day.
Oh, that was great.
She's cute.
You know, it's nice to do something that's listener-driven where it's like they stump us with pawpaws and we get local chef who's into them calling in.
And now a farmer.
Yeah, that's
indigenous to this region.
Perfect circle. So
good.
Boy, are we clueless.
Like that. Right?
When we come back on Formula Wolf on Food and Wine, we're looking for more of your calls, 410-662-8780, or email us, formanwolf@wypr.org. And the question is, what are your feelings about fruit? And we're also chasing apple recipes. If you have a secret special apple cake recipe or an applesauce recipe or something up your sleeve, we'd like to hear about it. So reach us in just a few minutes, 410-662-8780. On Formula Wolf on Food and Wine on WIPR. Welcome to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And we're live today. You can reach us, 410-662-8780, or email us, foremanwolf@wypr.org. And mostly we're talking about fruits.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a recent lesson on pawpaws.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I do have a pear problem.
Well, now we know also that Lisa thinks, the farmer thinks eating them, you know, just right out of the fruit is the best way. So that's good to know, too.
So, what fruit, are you fascinated with one particular fruit? Is there one thing that you wait for every year to come into season?
Oh, well, everybody knows it's black raspberries. But I can add to that because those are so special. Now, this year, we saw those little local red raspberries that you said are called something else. What are they called? You said you used to find them when you were a kid in the bushes. I forget what people said they were called. But anyway, they look exactly like raspberries, but they're tiny, and they are absolutely pristine and gorgeous. One of our drivers for our produce company, he and his kids went out and picked some and gave us basically a love letter to the kitchen, which was so sweet, and sent us some of these little berries. I want to say wine saps, but that's an
apple variety that has not yet arrived.
Yeah. Anyway, but whatever they're called, I mean, I want to get those next year if they come out again, because those were incredible and they're just so lovely. I also really, really love passion fruit, which of course we don't get locally, but that is something that I look forward to when we can get that fresh. And it's so, I think the fruit itself is just so fascinating, you know, the way that they look, and they have this huge outer crazy shell. And then when you cut them open, the fruit clings to the inside. It's almost like it's in there inside some carpeting. I mean, it's sort of a white, sort of almost like a fava beans interior. But I love passion fruit, but I know you're talking about fruit, but that's the other thing that I really, truly look forward to, all of our local fresh beans. So a little off topic, but, you know, I love it when we get local fava beans, and I know we're talking
about
fruit.
Can you just stay on topic?
Oh gosh. I think that's it. The other fruit I really like are tomatoes. So there. Oh, and the Concord grapes. I love those. Oh my gosh. That is such a unique flavor.
Spectacular.
Oh my
this
gosh.
Year.
They're so good. And they're so fun to eat. I remember picking those when I was a little girl in southern Michigan with my mom. And it's just so much fun to sit in while you're picking and you're in the farm and you're like squirting them into your mouth. I mean, I love them. I love how you eat them.
There was a grape arbor across the street from out back of the house across the street from the house I grew up in.
Wow. That's awesome.
And they had Concords back there. Mm. And they were protected by a giant herd of yellow jackets.
Oh, gosh. So you took your life in your hands when you went to go pick them.
You were very strategic with how you went about it. And you made sure that everything you reached for did not have stripes.
Oh, gosh. Ooh,
because you could not just go grab a cluster of stuff.
Oh, gosh. Ooh.
But we couldn't stop.
Well,
we could not
so
stop
good.
Ourselves. Yeah, I mean, it was like school starts and the Concords come.
Yeah, that's
it's like
funny.
Bang, bang.
Simultaneous, okay.
And the people that had the house were super duper nice.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew who was taking their grapes. Because you could see the kids with the purple hands
It's not me. What do you mean?
Yeah, just so like, and they would have the purple hands.
Oh, Tony.
And
did they have a shotgun?
Ms. Renneberg would come on the porch and, how are you boys?
Oh, boy.
We're good. And you see the kids put their hands behind their back.
We're good. Nothing to see here.
No. We're great. We're just looking at the trees. Because that's what 7-year-olds do. They don't want those grapes.
I love the mix of how sweet the flesh is next to this. I guess it's next to the skin. And then the how tart the meat of the grape is.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I love them. One of the things I've done in the past is, puree them for their juice, strain it, and then do it as an hors d'oeuvre with, we would just pour a little bit of club soda on top of quite a bit of juice. Tony just put it, I'm sorry, everyone listening, but Tony just put blue
juice.
Reading glasses
oh,
on
yes.
And I can't.
It's so crazy. Uh-huh.
So anyway, so we would add a little bit of club soda to them and it just, froths up and it's so good. And just shoot it back. So that's kind of fun to do. You might want to do that with your kids.
Is it better by itself? Or is it better when you monkey with it?
It's better by itself. To me, it really is.
I think it might be. I mean, a very, very simple preserve,
Oh, yeah. I should make some.
Like,
oh, my gosh.
Not even preserve, just a conserve,
Yeah.
It's basically a refrigerator.
Yeah.
Like, you're not even keeping
them
long term.
Right. Well, the other thing is that same dish that I was talking about with the pears, when I was poaching them in the port, I'll just say port red wine, it was a couple pieces of star anise, clove, and cinnamon stick. The last time I poached them, I also added fresh Concord grape juice at the end. Oh, my gosh. So good. And that's the sauce for the foie gras. That would be great with duck. It would be great with any game bird, any dark meat game bird. That's the pears and the fruit.
I have an email from a listener, Von Seal Anderson. And Von Seal, I apologize if I butchered your first name. It's lovely. As we're in the car, I'm sending this in for my husband, although I agree with him. A fruit that can't be improved upon is a ripe watermelon.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. And yeah, you got that.
Mm-hmm.
You got that.
I
like it in things.
Uh-huh. But yeah, watermelon.
You know my affection
watermelon.
For like heirloom tomatoes and watermelon as a dish.
My mom and dad used to put salt and pepper on their watermelon and all their melons. I think that's a Pennsylvania.
We had a listener call in to say where you
thank you, Oliver.
Think about
huckleberries.
Huckleberries.
That's what they're called. Oh, they are so pretty.
They're not.
I mean,
they're like raspberries.
Oh, that's not. Is that not what I'm talking about?
I think not.
Oh, sorry. Sorry,
but they're
Oliver.
Delicious.
Thank you, though. I'll find some huckleberries.
They're delicious, and we've got from Willis and Waverly. Haven't heard from him for a minute. This is great. Hope you're doing great. I just had to buy some of those Bosque pears yesterday because, as you know, there aren't a lot available at market. They're a little hard still, but I plan on making a frangipane tart with them.
Ooh, go Willis.
I used to think it was hard to make, maybe because it sounds fancy, but it's actually pretty simple. Pears and almonds are a great combo.
Mm-hmm.
I don't disagree with you that they're a great combo.
Uh-oh.
I would rather hear a pear sing a cappella than with the band. That's all I'm saying.
Oh! Ooh, okay.
Ooh, yes.
I can't remember his name, so no, I can't say it. But we had a famous musician come into the restaurant the other night. Josh, if you're listening, call in. Oh, my gosh. It was fun having him in. He loves food. He plays with Eric Clapton, but I can't remember his name. So it's talk, Tony. Go ahead. What you got there?
So apple recipes. we ask people for apple recipes.
Did
how about
we get
one from
one?
You?
From me?
We need some apple recipes from listeners.
Apple and caramel. Apple caramel and puff pastry. I mean, my favorite apple dessert I've ever had in my life is at Beaugravier. And he just does a perfect puff pastry dough, cuts it out in a very large circle, probably like the size of my hand, and bakes it in the oven with, you could always use Willis's frangipane, a little spread on the bottom of the puff pastry, wash the whole piece of puff pastry, dock it with a fork. And wash the outside, the exposed edge with egg wash, and then lay thinly sliced apples on and put a little bit of sugar on top and bake it. You want to bake it in a kind of hot oven. Puff pastry does better if it goes in to the oven cold. And the higher the oven, higher temperature, you'll get some good caramelization. You really kind of want that sugar to caramelize too. And I love that he serves it with, I think it's an apple caramel. And if it isn't, that's what I would do. A little bit of apple juice, fresh pureed apple juice with the caramel. So seriously good. It's a beautiful dessert. Very simple. Nothing mind-blowing. Just mind-blowingly good.
So making
in its beauty and simplicity.
I'm making caramel to use just whether it's for that apple dessert or just in general.
Be careful. The first thing I'll say is be careful. When you go to caramelized sugar, its temperature, once it begins to brown, is very, very high. I will never forget the day that I was working in Charleston, South Carolina, in one of my first jobs, and I was on saute. My chef had decided to start doing the pastries, and we had a new line cook come in, and there were only three of us in the kitchen. It was a very small restaurant. I only had 35 seats, and Marcelo had just made caramel, and the cook walked over when he turned his back and put his finger in there to taste it, and I'm like, oh, dear. I mean, you know, burned the heck out of his hand. So I'd keep my children away from it. I would make it quietly on my own and with no distractions, because the moment it starts to caramelize, it will go over in a heartbeat, and you need to get it out of that heat.
You have to get it off heat before it gets to the color that you want it
to. Yes, exactly. And then the adding of the cream is sort of dangerous. So, you know, you really, you need to let it cool down a little bit before you add the cream, but just be very, very careful. I would just go ahead and look up a good recipe for it so you see instructions in front of you when you're doing it. Go over the instructions and then make it. But caramel is a delicious thing to have. And it's so good on so many. I mean, you know, you can just put caramel on ice cream. There's a million different uses for a nice caramel sauce.
I'm picturing you in a dimly lit, in your very beautiful dimly lit kitchen, making caramel sauce with a Bond theme playing in the background. Let's go to Carolyn downtown with a call with an apple recipe. Carolyn, how are you?
Hi, Carolyn.
Hey, I'm great. Thanks for what you do. You're amazing. Oh. So my mom used to own a bakery in Annapolis.
Nice.
And she used to make Roman apple cake from the Joy of, an old copy of The Joy of Cooking. Hmm.
What makes it Roman apple cake?
God knows. But it's kind of a...
For your honesty, Carolyn.
You make it in a pie plate, and it's got kind of a crumb topping, and it's a dark-colored cake that's very cinnamony, and the apple slices are in it.
I'm going to make that. I have a copy of Joy of Cooking. That sounds good.
Yeah, it's totally worth it.
Oh, yeah. So your mom had a bakery. That's super cool.
Yeah, she was Miss Nancy of Miss Nancy's Bakery in Annapolis.
That's nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And she has Alzheimer's, but she can still bake Roman apple cake.
That's, you know, you hang on to the keys.
Wow. I'm sorry.
Yep.
Quick question for you, Carolyn. I'm asking everybody today. So I have if you've been listening, you know I have a thing about pears, like that you can't combine them with something to make them better. You can't improve upon it by changing it somehow.
Yes.
Is there a fruit that you have those feelings about?
Peaches, totally peaches.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Really?
But I have to tell you, we planted an orchard a few years ago, and we have a pear tree. I have no idea what kind of pear tree it is, but it has the most complex pear taste in the universe.
Ooh.
It's like you taste all of these things in the pear that I've never tasted in a pear before.
Awesome.
They're very emotionally evocative fruit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm with you.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Wait for the peaches in Maryland. I mean, there's nothing. People in Georgia think they've got it. They have no idea.
No.
No, right. Rock on. Exactly. Go Baltimore. Yes.
Yeah, totally.
Thanks, Carolyn.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Carolyn. You're awesome.
So we're talking about, as I just asked Carolyn, that what is that fruit that you have the most feelings about?
Mm-hmm.
And we're also looking for apple recipes, like the Roman apple cake, or if you have or the apple tart from La Bougravière that Cindy loves so much. Is there an apple recipe that that's top secret that you need to give the world? Give us a ring, 410-662-8780. Or email us, foremanwolf@wipr.org.
I think that's one of the great things about having how the quality of blenders has improved so much over the last, 30 years. Because you can puree things into oblivion now and barely even have to strain them or choose not to strain, which is nice when you're talking about something that's healthy like that, like an apple. And I think making sorbet from an apple, and then you could add something unhealthy to your apple by adding some calvados to it. I think that would be great, or adding a little bit of brandy to it. Or you could make apple ice cream, which is what I would like to do. And I think if I was going to make apple ice cream, I would peel the apples, obviously take the seeds out, and then cook them with the cream for the ice cream, and then puree it and add the sugar and the eggs and run it. And I think if you had that caramel, you could run that caramel in a ribbon, you know, where you were talking about the other day.
You know, run I love ribbons of caramel and ice cream.
That would be so good, a caramel apple ice cream. Mm.
Once upon a time, we had a pastry chef that made apple cider ice cream that was crazy good.
Well, I used to make apple cider ice cream. That's funny.
Was that you?
It was me. I would reduce
no
down.
Way.
Yeah, I would reduce down the apple cider with cinnamon and again star anise and then make that into ice cream. Maybe I was that pastry chef.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't know.
We do have a listener with a question from Carolyn. I'm craving a savory one-pot fall dish like bœuf bourguignon or something similar, but it seems too warm to break out the fall and winter dishes. Any recommendations for something that uses what is seasonal now in the early fall but will satisfy that craving for a hearty stew-type meal? To me, it sounds like Coca Riesling. You know, that's relatively easy to look up a recipe for. It's an Alsatian dish, you use a dry Riesling. It's chicken stewed with a dry Riesling and also chicken stock, that can be just marvelous.
Mm.
And instead of if you want to make it a little bit lighter, more reasonable, you can make a cabbage salad or a kale salad
apple salad
the Tuscan kale lacinato, mm-hmm. and apples make a great salad with a white balsamic dressing. Serve that as a side, but Coco Riesling, and it's a good excuse to have just like a refreshing Pinot Blanc or a simple Riesling from Alsace this time of the year.
Hmm. So those berries that I'm talking about are called wine berries. This nice man, what's his name? Doesn't say. Oh, Odin. It's a Japanese wine berry, and it's an Asian species of raspberries in the rose family, native to China, Japan, and Korea. So that's what they are. And he said they're invasive, but delicious.
Well, they must have invaded the woods behind my house.
Hmm. Wine berries. That's it.
So give us your calls about the fruit that you have feelings about and what you're cooking right now. And we need your apple recipes. We've had some interesting ones so far. Give us ring 410-662-8780 or email us foremanwolf@wypr.org. And we'll be back in just a moment on Foreman Wolf on Food and Wine. Welcome back to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And we're live today. You're reaching us at 410-662-8780 or reaching us via email. Thanks for your emails as well. foremanwolf@wypr.org. And we're talking about apple recipes and mm-hmm. fruit that you have strong feelings about, like I do pears, as previously stated. We've got Laura in Perryville on the line with an apple recipe. Laura, how are you?
Hi, Laura.
Hi. Oh, guys, I love your show. I'm so excited.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you.
I'm a local, and I just have to say I was really thrilled to hear another local speak up for Maryland peaches, because as soon as you said that, mm-hmm. I thought our peaches ripe in season are that fruit. Like, you cannot improve on them.
Very good. Yep.
But for apples, it's not my personal recipe, and it's certainly out there and commercially available. But what my go-to is for apples is Ina Garten's Apple Cake Tatin, which is just a sour cream, upside-down caramel apple cake. But what I love about it, and it was funny hearing, Cindy, you talk about the burning points of caramel, because I learned a lot about that making this cake, many dozens of times. But it keeps really well. And it's a wonderful breakfast cake, and it's great 5 days out if it even lasts 5 days.
Mm. Mm. That's,
you know, it's just
that's
cool
a fun way to have
to hear someone say breakfast cake like it's a normal term.
You know,
my 5-year-old would really, really like you.
Yeah, I'd like to have some breakfast cake. That's awesome, Laura. I'm going to look up that recipe, too. That sounds good.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you so much for calling. Hey,
by the way, when you make yours, what apple variety do you have the most success with?
Whatever looks best that day. It works with any apple.
Okay.
And you can get as fancy with the design or just lop it on in there. Really, it's the most forgiving cake.
Do you use a springform? A springform pan, or do you use a regular cake pan?
No, a pie plate. Just a 9-inch Pyrex pie plate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
It's just easier.
Yeah, that is easier. Okay, cool. Good.
Hey, I'm going to get you ask you the question of the day. I'm asking everybody: is there a fruit that you like so much on its own that you prefer it that way, not combined with anything else, or cooked, or in a salad, or a preparation, or as part of a sauce? What is that fruit that you have such strong feelings about?
The Maryland peaches.
Mm-hmm.
We have the most beautiful peaches, and I have my favorite farm stand up by here. I'm in Perryville. They're right at the top of the bay, and they also have the most beautiful muscadine grapes with these skins, and they have the seeds in them and everything, but they just, like, you can't do anything with them except put them in your mouth by the handful and just swoon.
When swooning is required. I do love them in a preserve, I have to admit, muscadines. They have a totally different flavor cooked. It's kind of cool.
Thank you so much for the call.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you,
guys. Have a good day. Okay, bye.
So let's go to, no, we're not ready.
Okay, so Tony, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
You know, I've traveled some to Europe and—
You've traveled a bunch.
Mm-hmm, and just in traveling, when you go to look at a wine list, and whether it's here or in Europe or wherever, how do you as a guest go about choosing your wines? Because, you know, not everybody can text you like I can and use you as a resource. But any suggestions for folks about how to go about that?
One, any time someone wants to talk about looking at the wine list at 12:45 in the afternoon,
mm-hmm,
I'm pleased. That just means they're going to live a civilized life.
Right. They're going to have a good day. Good lunch.
Exactly.
Good lunch.
And they'll digest it so much more successfully.
Mm-hmm.
I think here's what I often see people doing, and it doesn't have to be this way. People think there's one thing that I like. And because they're confident they're going to like this one thing, and there are other things in the past they have not liked. Let's say it's Napa Cabernet Sauvignon.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just going to like grab onto that one thing. So they see that on a list, they're going to grab that. The thing is that not every Napa Cabernet Sauvignon is terrific.
Mm-hmm.
And not everyone is going to be the best with the dish that you choose.
Well, that's true.
It doesn't mean that they're not some that are fascinating and remarkable and delicious and great with a lot of dishes. But the world is wider than that, and if you're just hanging on to that one thing that you know, you're...
Well, the world of wine is intimidating, so it makes sense that people are... Yeah,
it is, but it's not. I mean, the world of...
Or it can be intimidating.
You know, the world of tax law. I mean, like, I don't do my own taxes. You know, I don't do my own surgery. Like, But it's endlessly interesting to learn about it. And if you're willing to actually... Maybe if there's someone who is versed in the establishment... whether it's a sommelier or you know, the proprietor or
the owner,
the barman, whatever it might be, talk with that person. It doesn't have to be exactly like the thing that you know that you like in order for you to like it either.
Right.
There are just remarkable things. There are definitely times when, in talking with someone, I can see that they're kind of nervous and be like, I'm kind of just bring you taste of things.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just find out kind of where you are. Or, I mean... I think the most intelligent way to go about it, have an aperitif. You know, have a half a glass of sparkling wine. Have a Campari. Have, like, just a little something so that you're having something and you kind of, things will slow down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the menu, you figure out what your meal is going to be, and then begin to have that conversation. I think that can be very successful for people. And you can sort of, you know what, it turns out that we're going to have a whole lot of seafood. And so that kind of narrows the alleys that we're going to look in.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But we, you know, we're going to have a lot of seafood, but we know we're just not fans of Sauvignon Blanc, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's great. That leads us to a lot of other things. If I was going to just give blanket tips to people on where their great values or winemaking quality is really high in general. So if you're just like throwing a dart at wines from certain places. In the States, it's a little tricky. If I was going to pick one place, Oregon Pinot Noir is not inexpensive, but Pinot Noir from Oregon, especially the last like 6, 7, 8 vintages, consistently a lot of really well-made stuff, a lot of very interesting stuff, and the hit versus miss ratio is very, very high.
Okay.
The southern part of the Rhone Valley, like Châteauneuf-du-Pape and most of the Côte du Rhône village, hit versus miss ratio, very, very high, and the value can often be very good.
Côte du Rhône village?
Yeah.
Okay.
In whites, Alsace, we're talking about Coco Riesling, Alsace, the hit versus miss ratio, very high. The sweetness of the wine is going to be very varietal dependent. If it's Gewürztraminer or Pinot Gris, it's going to be sweet. If it's Pinot Blanc, if it's Riesling, it's going to be pretty darn dry and very food flexible. If you like all kinds of Asian food, they are great with a range of South Asian, East Asian, Southeast Asian cooking, for sure,
mm-hmm.
along with a lot of the rest of the world. In Italy, Italy is so diverse. There's so many different things from so many places. There is a grape from Sicily that is being made better and better and better, that if you're trying not to spend money and you want something that's delicious, either sparkling or still dry white wine, Grillo is the grape, G-R-I-L-L-O. An awful lot of the versions imported to the U.S. are pretty darn high quality at a very low price. I would look for that varietal. And honestly, in the region where a lot of vintage has been really, really good, barring 2014 was not strong, the Piedmont of Northwest Italy, most famous for Barolo, Barbaresco. There are other varietals also, that besides Nebbiolo, that makes those famous ones named for their places, like Barbera and Dolcetto, that are terrific and are not big money and very food functional. I don't know that I would always want them on my porch, but as soon as I had food, because their wine's built by some acidity, because with food, just great.
Mm-hmm.
So there's your
primer
wine advice break.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Let's go back to fruit and back to apple recipes and go to MV in Parkton. MV, how are you?
Well, I'm pretty good for an 80-year-old, I think.
Very good.
Getting there is half the fun, right?
What I wanted to tell you is my favorite apple dessert is a tart tatin.
Very good.
And I make it in an 8-inch cast iron skillet.
That sounds about perfect.
Well, it is for me. And my kitchen is the original kitchen from about 1785.
Holy smokes.
Wow.
I cook
That's
on a
amazing.
Wood stove.
Oh my goodness.
And I have the original cooking fireplace.
Oh.
And in the summertime, I also have about a 1925 Chambers gas stove with an insulated oven.
Super cool. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I want to see
your
kitchen.
So
can I come visit you? I want to see this really badly.
I wish you would, because I use all copper and cast iron.
Oh, yes, sir. Oh my goodness.
You are no joke, MV.
That is awesome.
This place used to be an inn.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and this is the original inn kitchen. It's a log part of the house that was built first.
Wow.
And it was the first reference I have to it is from 1782, in which John Bierham petitioned the land office to buy 150 acres of confiscated British land.
Yes. Oh, that's so cool.
Sorry, Great Britain.
But anyway, let me get back to the tart tatin.
Yeah, so do you share your recipe?
It is use about a half a cup of sugar and a little bit of butter, and then I add a tiny bit of water, and that's my start to caramelizing it. But I only caramelize it to kind of a light straw color. Then take it off and put it on something cold to stop it, but then keep it warm. And in the meantime, you should have done your apples. I generally peel and core the apple, cut it in half, and then each half I cut into thirds. Yeah. And I arrange those into a fancy design around the pan. And then the pie dough I lightly season with mace.
Oh.
And then I either dust the apples with cinnamon before I put the dough over top of it and kind of cup it around. Or sometimes I use rosemary, because rosemary goes nicely with apples too.
Sure does.
And it only takes about 25 minutes in about a 350-degree oven. And I think that is the best apple dessert in the world.
That sounds seriously good. You are a good.
Sounds pretty great.
You're a good cook, sir. I bet. I think you. I like the rosemary. That's a great idea, and the idea of. I bet that chamber stove is treating you well with this particular dish.
Well, I in the wintertime, I usually put it in the cook stove oven. In a cook stove, you bake in the bottom of the oven.
Okay.
I had a black woman teach me how to cook in a cook stove. She had been with the family since 1898.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, and she told me how to cook in a cook stove because I needed the cook stove for heat.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing she said, get a black cast iron one because they put out more heat.
There you go.
And the first thing, I've got to tell you this funny story. The first thing I baked in it was bread. And I didn't know that I should put it in the bottom of the oven. After about 10 to 12 minutes, it starts turning a beautiful brown. And after about 20 or 25 minutes, it was getting too brown, and I took it out of the oven. I thought it was done. Well, when I cut it open, the inside was raw.
Oh, no.
No, no.
Oh, no.
I think everyone's first bread kind of ends up doing
this.
Yeah. Hey, thank you very much, MV. You are awesome.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling.
And I think a lot of people are going to use your recipe, if that's all right.
That's very cool.
Is the easy. I've be careful when you flip it over. I always flip it over the sink.
Okay.
Yep.
Good
that's
advice.
Good advice. Thanks, MV.
Thank you so much. That's amazing. Oh, my gosh. I really want to see his place. That's like a dream come true to me. A cook's... My aunt, my father's...
Because you're really from the 1790s.
I am. Like, yes, I'm reincarnated from some woman from the 1700s.
Yeah, frontier chef.
That's me.
Oh, boy.
All right. That was fun.
So do you do ice cream with tart tatin or no?
No. I mean, you can, of course. You can do ice cream with pretty much anything. But
whipped cream? Crème chantilly?
Oh, see, now that's what I would prefer.
Crème fraîche?
I would prefer crème fraîche, actually. Crème fraîche. Definitely. Yeah, you know, ice cream and I, yeah.
That's no. the one thing I'll
creme fraiche.
Just tell listeners real quick for advice about tart tatin. Winesap apples, when they come out in a couple of weeks, usually middle October, marvelous.
They're
otherwise, Granny Smith's work.
Okay.
Anyway, well, if you want to listen to this program all over again because it was great or just because you want to torment yourself, go to the WIPR website, look for the Foreman and Wolf page. It's WIPR.org, and on the Foreman Wolf page, you'll see a menu of all of our episodes. If you want to correspond, it's ForemanWolf@WIPR.org. If you want to follow Chef Cindy Wolf on social media,
you can follow me on Instagram as Chef Wolf, on Twitter as Chef Cindy Wolf, and on Facebook as Cindy Wolf.
You're so multiple.
I know, it's just everywhere.
Mine is Instagram, The Real Tony Foreman. Thanks so much for listening.
Happy Sunday.